Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Point of view.
On Kaya 959.
With Pimela Mudime.
What's yours?
A look at international stories now with risk analyst and former diplomat Dr. Kingsley Makubela. Thank you so much for making time for us again. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pimela. What a pleasure again.
Thank you. Okay, so let's start here at home, where AfriForum has confirmed that they've gone to the US to state their case. What do you make of how we, as the South African government, are responding to what we're seeing as this engagement between AfriForum and the White House?
You know, Pimela, it's just unfortunate that the White House would first have a meeting with AfriForum before an engagement with the government, particularly now that the president has made his desire known that he intends to send a team of envoy. It would have been much better for them to listen to the team of envoy before AfriForum. But having said that, it's quite common, Pimela, that governments would engage civil society and other groups of interest on the matter that they want. I don't think there's anything unusual about what the White House is doing.
Yeah.
It's only that the manner in which it's doing it, it's concerning.
If you look at some of what they've put forward, there is a sense that they've gone there to state their case. They're very clear. No. Thank you very much, Mr. Trump. Thanks for the offer, but we don't really want to migrate. We want to stay in South Africa. We want to be a part of this this society in South Africa. And please don't do anything to AGOA. However, there are conditions. You know, we need you to put more pressure on the ANC in particular, and we need you to put pressure on the government on its policies. How should South Africa react to that?
You know, their visit to the U.S. comes in the wake of the dismissal of a case on genocide. Remember, they've lodged a legal case that they are facing genocide, and that has been dismissed. And our people who are facing genocide, as Trump at one stage put it, it's very difficult really to now comprehend that all of a sudden they don't want to leave. They want to stay. So they are basically raising questions about, are they really facing serious genocide, as they say, if they want to stay? Because if really they were facing genocide, the first thing they would want to do is to save their lives, and they would seek any refuge that would guarantee their lives. So they've lost that argument around that. But, you know, they've gone there to raise a few issues about policy issues, how the government should function. But I don't think there's a prerogative of a non-governmental organization to decide how an organization should function. And they've lost out on the case that there's discrimination against white people. Because if you look at the wealth of the country, it's still mainly in the hands of white people. And their biggest worry, Pimela, I think me and you spoke about this at one stage, is the realization that all of a sudden, if the U.S. imposes tariffs, if the U.S. stops AGOA, their constituency is going to be affected.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why they are pleading. They are the good ambassadors now for AGOA, to keep AGOA, because they realize it's going to hit their pockets. So we spoke about this. They really cut their nose to despise their face, and the chickens are coming home to roost, and they realize that it's very difficult for them.
How do you think Trump is going to react to this request to review the offer to migrate to the U.S.?
You know, they've been relegated to meet with staffers at the White House. Mm-hmm. And I think they are meeting people right at the entry level of staff of the White House who would make recommendations. You know, the U.S. has a very good system. They have what they call the committee of the principals. Mm. And there's a committee of deputies before it goes to the principals. So probably they are meeting people at the entry level. Would go to the Committee of Deputies. The Committee of Deputies would need to send it to the National Security Advisory Team. And that National Security Advisory Team, composed of a lot of people, that's the beauty of the U.S. system, that would include the intelligence, everyone who would interrogate that information before it's given to the president. And they will then realize that there are elements that are not true. And they would give the president an honest assessment about what is true, what is not true, what borders on really interference in the domestic affairs, or what borders on the basic solidarity with people who are under some form of a genocide. So they are having a serious problem, in my own view, to state their case.
Do you think, I mean, we've already started here seeing some G20 meetings begin, and we very early on heard Trump, you know, and some senior members in the US saying they're not coming to join these meetings. But do you think they're going to hold on to that, or do you think there'll be a little bit of FOMO? You know, we know that this G20 meeting is important. They are supposed to be handing over that presidency to us. In their absence, things could happen and they may want to be in the room. Yes, I know that they haven't completely abandoned the G20. There are some staffers here, but except that they're not leader at very senior level. But what I'm asking is, do you think this idea that, you know, the US is not going to pitch for the leaders' G20 meeting is going to sustain, or do you think maybe things will happen between now and then?
Well, I think they are having serious problem around this issue of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And if you look at the theme of this G20, it speaks about solidarity, inclusion, and sustainability. Yeah. They have challenges around those issues.
Yeah.
And I think that's fundamentally why they are not attending. It's not because of the AfriForum or this kind of groups. It's fundamentally around what they are trying to advocate. I mean, they have fired the chairman of the Joint Chiefs last week, Saturday, and because he was an advocate of this DEI. So they have a fundamental problem around that. And I think this is a prelude, in my own view, for Trump not to come. Mm-hmm. And remember, every hosting nation for the G20, they have to frame their own theme. So they will decide on what is going to happen. You're not going to see, continuity given the precedent that has been set up, because Brazil dealt with issues of food security. South Africa has taken that forward. So there's some level of continuity. So you are likely not to see continuity. They are likely to reset the agenda and identify their own issues.
Then let's talk about South Africa's, position. We've spoken about this in the DRC. We saw yesterday the arrival of some of our soldiers back in the country. We are starting to hear, other conversations that are, I suppose, not supposed to be in the public domain, but are now out here. Some military defense generals saying, you know, we are not serious. We're not taking our country seriously. Some of these issues that are starting to leak are giving us a different picture of what is happening there. Your sense of how we're managing all of that?
Well, Pimelo, there's a bad management of communication from the government and from the Department of Defense around this issue. What does the Surgeon General, who's a Lieutenant General, very senior, stated, it's indicative of some level of frustration. And having said that, I don't think generals should play in the public domain, because the Defense Force operates under strict rules and discipline. It's just unfortunate that he went public. But I think if what he's saying, let's not throw everything away. Look at the content of what he's saying. Say, are there merits in terms of what he's saying, and address the concerns that he's raising? I think that's very important. I mean, there are different information coming out of the DRC that effectively our soldiers are captives of M23 there. They can't move. They can't even go to the toilet. They are escorted by M23. And there are some reports that one is getting from other sources that M23 has even ransacked their logistics, taken some of their uniform, wearing them. So there are serious concerns that are coming out of that. And we saw some reports 2 weeks ago, Pimelo, that South Africa has sent another 700 to 800 troops that landed in Lubumbashi, not even clearly defining what it is. Usually in the military, they do a relief duty. So once you have people in harm's way, they'll take them away, particularly these ones who have gone through this. They'll take them away and refresh that, send new ones. Maybe that was the intention. But subsequent to that, we know that the main airport in Goma has fallen. In South Kivu, the Kavumu airport has fallen also to the M23. So the M23 are actually very much buoyant now. And the Congolese army is so ill-disciplined in South Kivu. They were involved in irregular things, and some of them were being court-martialed. But that's not the time when they're facing serious conflict. And the political will, it's not there from Tshisekedi. I mean, Pimelo, they have a meeting in Dar es Salaam to discuss the Congo. He doesn't turn up. They have a meeting at the AU to discuss that. He doesn't turn up. There's a meeting in Harare. He doesn't turn up. The next thing, he shows up in Munich for the security conference. I mean, it tells you what level of importance he attaches to countries that are actually sending the best of their sons and daughters to defend him. Now, we're getting report also that in Lubumbashi, there's a breakdown of discipline. I'm afraid, and I wouldn't be surprised, Pimelo, quite honestly, if the Tshisekedi government would not survive the next 3 to 4 months.
Well,
because...
I beg your pardon. Go ahead.
Because indications are that everything has broken down. There's no control. There's been ransacking and attack of embassies in Kinshasa and so on. So you're starting to see some level of anarchy and people looting and doing that. And those are indicative of the fall of a government. I wouldn't be surprised if the government in Kinshasa totally collapsed and Tshisekedi runs away to Belgium, maybe.
Well, I think what is even more concerning is not that he's just showing up in Munich. It's what seems to be his conversations with some of these countries, these Western countries, and agreements that he's having. I think that's quite concerning. Some opinion pieces that he's written, almost reaching out to say, you can come over and we can negotiate, you know, what piece of our minerals you can have. Very, very, very disturbing kind of reports coming out of there.
That's why, Pimelo, I'm thinking those are indicative of some level of desperation.
Yeah.
He realizes that his government is not holding on. He's going around pleading for people and promising to mortgage the resources of the country in return for them protecting him. What tells me is that he's lost confidence in the African leaders to provide him those security guarantees that he wants. I mean, he's literally giving the middle finger to the SADC mission that really has lost so many of our troops there. And the guy is not showing any interest. I think we really need to relook at this. And now you're starting to get voices coming out of the DRC. I mean, Kabila, Joseph Kabila said something very fundamental, and that's very important, that the DRC conflict requires more than a military solution. He's quite correct. It requires a lot of political solution, a lot of political focus on the issues. And he raises concern that, you know, South Africa, known of its Ubuntu, would it continue to send military to support the tyrannical government of Tshisekedi? So you're starting to see this fragmentation. And I think it's the first time that Joseph Kabila speaks out quite openly.
Yeah.
But you can see there's no support for the South African military contingency there. So who is supporting us? Is it Tshisekedi, who has no interest in really providing a leadership, who doesn't even take us seriously, doesn't take the leadership of the region seriously? So who else has confidence in the SADC? That's the question that is starting to come out from all of us.
Appreciate your time. We've run out of time. We haven't even touched on some of the issues, but we'll speak again soon. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Fumela. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Risk analyst and former diplomat, Dr. Kingsley Makubela. Kaya.
We are Rhythm and Beat. If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.